Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to Old Millennials Patreon bonus episodes. As you know, I am your host, one of your hosts. Oh, God, I'll take that one over.
You can host it all by yourself. I'll just sign off right now.
Bye.
Bye.
I am one of your hosts, Emily Bajan.
And I am your other host, Margot Poupard.
If you're wondering why you're hearing me kind of struggle today, it's because, you know, it's just been cancer season has been fucking tough. And like, I don't know about you, Margot. I mean, I do know because we've talked about it. Like, just cancer season has been a bitch.
I have gotten my ass kicked in the last couple, like emotionally, obviously, gotten my ass kicked in the last couple of weeks. Not because like anything necessarily bad has happened, but definitely nothing good has happened.
No. I always think with cancer season, because they're my fellow water signs, that they're going to treat me right. It's going to let me get in touch with my good emotions. And it just kind of fucks me up every year. Like, cancer season is upon us and she is not kind.
I guess you're right, because it's always around this time of year that I sort of hit like a wall, kind of, or just like I just feel like, what am I doing? Where am I going? Like, what is happening? Not necessarily like just in general, because obviously like what's going on and what are we doing, like globally speaking, is, you know, a whole separate issue that we shan't touch. But like, yeah, it kind of feels like around this time of year, it's like, maybe this is why they call it dog days of summer, where you're just sort of like, fuck, like I have to keep on keeping on while everybody else is like in Europe or whatever. So
I think we need to, as a country, go by the French model. 6 weeks of vacation, baby. Like, let's all go rent a house in Spain and like take siestas in the middle of the afternoon. Like,
I mean, I do that regardless, but that's no one needs to tell Space Daddy Bezos that. This is pay gated, so they can't hear this shit. So
that's true. Until Patreon gets acquired by Amazon.
How dare you, Patreon? Don't do it. Do not get acquired by Amazon. I personally am begging you for my job security.
Resist. Well, we've got a lot to cover. It's
right, because we might be feeling like slightly depressed, but that does not mean that the news cycle will relent, because especially this past week, every morning I have a text or some sort of alert that's like, oh, wow. Although, can we start with what I sent you yesterday? Because that was probably the highlight of my week. Seeing Christy Carlson Romano get paid by Pfizer through Cameo for Business to do a vaccination education video.
Fire your agent, CCR.
Does she even have an agent? I think that's the better question, because as I texted you, I have ascended to a different plane. I was legit cry laughing, like, which was a nice break from like my regular crying. I was just like in tears. Like, it's that typical like Cameo background of just like plain white. And she's talking to like her front facing camera. And in my mind's eye, I couldn't, if she wasn't talking about like the benefits of getting vaccinated, which like, obviously, I mean, we're like 2 years in here. Like, how are we not? But fine. Okay. Christy Carlson Romano is really going to change some like QAnon person's mind, but that's neither here nor there.
What's the audience they're going for here? Is it millennials?
Maybe that's why they use Cameo for Business, because they're like, fuck it. Like, we could spend $150 on this and it'd be fine. But like, Cameo for Business is like for a sales conference. You know what I mean? Pfizer is like a $1 billion company.
Y'all have a conglomerate.
Are tied up tight, my friend. Like, that is crazy. I mean, I don't know. I died. The disrespect.
Yeah.
The lack of legitimacy. I mean, girl, go off, get your money. I don't know. It made me laugh. And then I think the funniest part was having to then explain to Sean why it was so funny. Because as a person that, like, he was never really into Disney or whatever, and like definitely missed the like Even Stevens time.
Yes.
I had to explain her whole vlog content and how that sort of like made her relevant. And he's like, wait, so she makes her husband walk backwards through the woods while she tells some stupid story about Lindsay Lohan? I was like, yes, exactly. He's like, yeah, she deserves Cameo for Business. And you know what? That's the that on that.
That's the that on that. One, you reminded me of something. It's actually a great segue into our next topic. I too had to explain something to my significant other, Jefferson, this weekend, and that is the funny girl drama.
Oh my God. I'm so glad. I already feel the serotonin like elevating in my mind. I was like, yes, cover me up. I spent so much time reading that Daily Beast article. Yes. Oh, it felt so good. I had almost forgotten that no one does petty drama like theater and also choir kids, but mostly theater people. Oh. Like, you guys are really on one. And I unironically love to see it. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, but Margo, this, I can't help it.
I'm so glad we're talking about it.
Drama that I never, no pun intended, that I never knew I needed. Like, mm-hmm. This is just unhinged. The level of like just the levels this drama goes to, the timelines, the wildest of it all, the Ryan Murphy of it all.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're all connected, right? Through Ryan Murphy, obviously, not through like the universe. It just shows me that like when people are hypercritical of politics, although it's very well deserved, I think a part of me is like, if you think about it, is anything well run? You know, like other than like Oprah's life and like Martha Stewart's life, like you look at the complete mishandling at every fucking level on a Broadway show. Like and it's like an expensive Broadway show. It was like a huge deal to bring back Funny Girl because when was the last time it was on Broadway? Like in the 60s or the 70s?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's been, I think they've done attempts on the West End and other places to do revivals, but it's not since Barbara Streisand like originated the role. And I think they brought in someone to fill in after that. But like it's really been since the 1960s.
So to flub this way is insane. And like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't really – we knew that Beanie Feldstein wasn't getting good reviews. But as not a Broadway – like a super big Broadway fan, I wasn't really sure – what that meant, right? Like people get bad reviews all of the time. It doesn't really necessarily, I wouldn't say it doesn't mean anything, but like, what does it mean in Broadway speak? Like, what is that? How does that have an effect on the show?
It's been very interesting. So I've listened to clips of her sing and she does have that Broadway nasal voice and she has it a lot more so than a Leah Michele or her understudy, who is, I believe, Julie Benko is the name of the understudy everyone talks about. Yes. Okay. So I think one of the things here is I have not confirmed this 100% yet, but are Beanie Feldstein's parents actually producers on this? Because I've looked everywhere for proof and it's been very back and forth. Like some people are like, yeah, they're producers. Like that's why she got the role. It's a nepotism baby thing. Like, and other people are like, no, that's a lie. Like I still have not confirmed if that is actually the case, but that's been a big part of it, that this was a whole nepotism baby thing. And that like,
I have not, I did not see that. And I don't think that her parents are producers.
I don't think so either.
I think it's strictly – so the thing that I promise this will all tie back. I think it has everything to do with the agent that she shares with Leah Michele, right?
Yes.
Because as I was listening to Who Weekly and they were talking about how it kind of makes sense because like – if they're, I wouldn't say they're trying to position her to be like sort of a Julia Roberts, but she just kind of had like a banner year, right? Like she had some great movie roles. She was Monica Lewinsky. She was sort of riding high. And maybe she did musical theater in the past as a kid. I don't really know. Okay, great. So so musical theater is one of her great loves or whatever. And she has a lot of star power. And I think Broadway, especially coming out of lockdown quarantine pandemic, because we are still currently in a pandemic, that they were thinking in order to get butts in seats, you need like
need
a big name,
star
you need
power.
A big draw, regardless of whether or not she has any real like singing talent or whatever. Because clearly she has the acting chops, right?
But
Broadway is totally different.
And here's the interesting thing. So even years ago, in terms of the banner years that Beanie had leading up to this, she was one of the featured actors in Hello, Dolly. And she got rave reviews. So in that revival.
That makes tons of sense. Because the Hello, Dolly revival was, I mean, over Funny Girl, was definitely the only one that I had cared about in the recent past. And I totally forgot she was in that.
And she got rave reviews for that role. Like people thought she had been snubbed out of a Tony nomination. So for
that
her.
That fully explains it then.
It explains. And I think what some people have said, because TikTok has given me nothing but these videos for the last week. This show, the original production of Funny Girl was not built like this, but in this revival, they kind of built it as like a show where they kind of explained it as like, she is just kind of presented in a new outfit, sits down, sings her part. And it's like, it's been tailored to her personality. And that works when you're like an older campy actor and like people know you for these things. But I think she is not old enough yet to have that kind of a show, like production around her kind of like that. She is very talented musically, acting wise. She's very funny and comedic. I just don't think this was the right production for her. And I think you bring up with this Daily Beast article, what was really interesting about what that insider said is that they had an opportunity, because when, you know, reviews do come in, there are opportunities to, you know, reframe shows. Like, you can go back and workshop it a bit. You can do stuff with it. And they, the production team, just really didn't do much with it. They just kind of doubled down. And to the point of that insider said, like, they were not protecting her. They were not doing enough in that sense. And they probably should have either talked about, you know, how do they reframe this to showcase her better, or, you know, taken her out of the role early on, which was the other thing that this insider brought in. The other thing that's interesting to me, and I think Bobby Finger put it best, was like, there's been a lot of blame on this on Julie Banco posting on her Instagram whenever she's about to go on as understudy.
Nonsense. And again, it comes down to like the behind the scenes and like the producers. Yes. If there is no protocol in place for what you should and shouldn't be doing on social media, then she's the fucking understudy that you barely ever get the chance to shine. It's not her fault. But
it's not her fault.
I mean, like they said multiple times, and you've already said, like in the Daily Beast article, they didn't do a good job of protecting Beanie in any sort of way. And I think that, I mean, we're very familiar with rejection. I mean, that fucking Reductress headline from the other day about like, oh, this woman does exposure therapy for failure by failing constantly. Like, yeah, it takes a fucking mental toll on you. Like, even if that's your whole job or whatever. And so even though I'm sure Beanie was like supportive and happy for her understudy, how does that make you feel if you've gotten negative reviews the whole time and everyone's talking about how great you are and people should go see the show again if they've already seen it with your understudy because she's so much better than you? You know what I mean? I think the real shit of it all, though, was how they mishandled the Lea Michele thing, mostly because, to me, when they announced that Beanie was going to leave, I think it was like at the end of September, I was like, well, then it's obviously going to be Lea Michele. There's no way, because Lea Michele had been on a fucking comeback tour since that Spring Awakening doc came out, and it made her look very good. And she smartly laid low for the last few years, had a baby, but also like didn't bother doing any personal growth. Like, I know you don't watch Vanderpump Rules, and for the 1.5 people that listen to this Patreon that do, we'll totally understand that Lea Michele and Stassi Schroeder have had the exact same trajectory, in the sense that they literally learned not one thing from why they got quote unquote canceled, which is, I do not believe in cancel culture. It's not true. Like, you just didn't work for a while. You guys are not barred from never working again, as is very clear. Like,
no,
Stassi she bought her way into a best-selling New York Times book, and Lea Michele fucking talked about how Jonathan Groff looked at her vagina with a desk lamp, and all of a sudden, like, now she's like allowed to be funny girl again. And whether or not she's the right fit for it, which I think she's been very bald in her wanting this role from Jump Street since Glee, you know, what I think is the most telling is that Jane Lynch quit as well at the same time and also moved up her date for leaving as well. And that should tell you everything you need to know about Lea Michele. So,
and the fact that she's rehearsing on a like a stage somewhere else. Like, she is not. Yes.
Did you see that tweet where someone's like, so we'll never know if she can
read? We'll never know if she can read. I mean, there's
last thing about Lea Michele is that, regardless of your feelings about her or whatever she's doing and how this whole thing is taken over, the entirety of the production rests on her little bitchy diva shoulders, right? Like, if she does well, then like she has fully cemented her quote unquote comeback, and it is over for you hoes. If she does poorly and the ticket sales are bad, well, then she's utterly fucked. Like, for real fucked. Is what she's good at, supposedly, right? Like, this is where she got her start. Spring Awakening is her shit. She's a fucking full-blown theater kid. So if she blows it, she's screwed. But I don't think she's going to. I don't think she is either.
I think this is it for her.
Like,
this is it for her. This is it for her. I just hope for her own sake that in this process, in these rehearsals, once she does start rehearsing with the cast, that she does not like showcase that same behavior from the Glee sets, and she, you know, like, I think she's going to, they're already reporting that ticket sales have gone up. Like it's already showing, like people want to see this, whether they are going because they love her or love to hate her.
Exactly. Is it going to last? That's my whole question. I don't know. Right.
And
like,
we'll
is
see.
is it going to peter out? Because like first week sales, you know, that only counts for so much. Like she has to carry on this whole run 5 or 4 nights a week for the next 3, 4, 5 months. So we'll see.
We'll see. I will say, like, to end this on a happy note, I'm excited to see Tova Feldshuh as the replacement for Jane Lynch. I loved her on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as Rebecca's mom. She's a Broadway legend. She does Jewish mother like no other, because like she's just incredible. And I can't say enough good things. I think she's going to be phenomenal in this role. And I think she'll be a good replacement.
I think she will too. I don't know. I mean, you know, keep your eyes on this space for more. I just also thought like the rollout and the announcement, it was like telling you the most obvious thing, you know, you're just like, you guys, the whole thing has just been mishandled from fucking here to hell. But we love to watch things go down in flames. And speaking of things going down in flames, we can talk about this just super briefly because it's been on my mind. Jen Shah of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City changed her plea to guilty. The plea that we all knew that she was supposed to be entering instead of guilty of being shamazing.
Let's just nullify the entire season 2 story arc, part two of the season 2 story arc.
I guess maybe you're not as familiar with the New Jersey of it all. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's like Teresa. Like, yeah. Well, I know enough.
She was definitely denied till you die. And then she was like, JK, I'm going to jail. Well, like, I shouldn't be laughing because it's not funny. But like.
No, I know.
But it's very much the same thing. But the one thing that I think is hilarious, you know, not – well, hilarious from like a very divorced from reality sort of way, is that they just wrapped all of season 3. And so like what is Jen doing all of season 3, right? Like is she – like how is she addressing this upcoming trial? Like I know that everybody's really disappointed that we're not going to get a trial because that thing would have been a complete – disaster, right? Like, what is your fucking defense? And I wanted Stu Chains, her old assistant who already flipped on her. I was really looking forward to hearing his testimony just because that man knows where all of those fucking bodies are buried. So the fact that she entered in a plea deal, it's like at least she's like in touch a little bit in reality. Like she obviously was lying and she must have been she obviously was a professional liar in her job. So I don't know why anybody's surprised, but season 3, is she just gonna be like, I'm innocent, and then at the reunion be like, JK, I'm going to jail for almost 14 years?
I feel like Salt Lake City, for being one of the newest franchises in Housewives, almost like did an abridged version of like the highlights that come up in every Housewives franchise. Like they sped up the process that normally takes a few seasons to get into. I'm just constantly impressed like that Bravo somehow picked this assortment of women, and it just sparks like flying everywhere. Like who is more guilty in this case? Like, you know, will they come for Maryam Cosby at one point? Like, I don't know.
I very much felt like when she entered in that plea deal, I was like, I need Andy and a camera at Maryam Cosby's house. Because do you remember that moment from last season where Mary's sitting on a bench with Jen? She's like, I pray to God you're guilty. I mean, not guilty. It's like, it's truly one of my favorite moments of all time. She's like, it's true. Like, we all know you're like, I think the thing is like, we all know. And the thing that really got me was like the night before she enters in this plea deal, she's been in New York for like this little mini cast trip with Heather Gay and Meredith. And then that one that kind of looks like Sarah Paulson, who also kind of looks a little bit like Whitney. Like she looks like Whitney and Sarah Paulson mixed together. Anyway, they're all out or whatever. And people are like talking shit to Meredith. I assume Bravo fans are wild, are talking shit to Meredith. And she posts something on her stories. Like it was very like Cher Horowitz. Like last I checked, it doesn't say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty. She was like, I checked, I live in America. Exactly. It's like, well, bitch, she's been guilty the whole fucking time. So don't you look like a dumbass. Like it just it really was like this sort of like perfect like cinema verite that like you truly cannot script, you truly cannot write. Like I live. That was so good. I'm glad that Jen did the right thing. I wonder how much longer Coach Shaw is going to stay around for. And obviously, I feel horrible for her kids. She has,
I know,
her older super hot son is already in med school and hopefully he's okay. But she does have like a 15-year-old, you know? And
yeah.
He's already had a fucking gun pulled on him by a goddamn SWAT team. Like, this poor kid does not need any more strife. But, you know, sentencing is in November. So, like, at least she gets to go to BravoCon. Like, I know some people are really upset that she's still going to be filming or whatever, but she's got to pay back those victims. And I genuinely feel the worst for her mom, who emptied out her fucking 401k and all her savings for her guilty, guilty daughter. Like, hopefully that didn't really happen and that was just for the cameras.
It breaks my heart because, like, clearly, like, her, you know, family, like, came to Utah for opportunities. Like, all the sacrifices her parents must have made coming to Utah and everything like that leading up to this.
And the amount of racism that they had to endure.
And the amount of racism they absolutely encountered along the way. And now to have, you know, doubled down on your daughter and to try to support her by, like, giving up your entire savings to fund her fees. Like, it's just – it's heartbreaking for this mother and just, like
– I mean, it's crazy. Like, the amount of money. Like, I know. Emily, I don't even – like, does she even have it? She's got to pay $6 million right now, and then she's got to pay $9 million in restitution.
I mean,
like,
she clearly doesn't, because she had to downsize so much in season two as they were going through all that.
That was, like, for lawyer. I mean, I don't know. I think some of it is difficult, at least to me, to parse of, like, what's reality for the show and what's reality for your life. But, I mean, there are court documents that were saying that she's got, like, a bunch of money in some offshore accounts, so maybe she's fine. I mean, I don't know. But
– yeah.
To me, the main priority, I don't know if necessarily jail is going to do anything for her. You know what I mean? Like, other than fuck up her family. I mean, I'm not saying that what she did was good or that she shouldn't be, you know, held accountable at all. But what I am saying is that, like, you know, paying back the victims is kind of like the biggest thing right now. But we'll see. I mean, her and – oh, my God. I'm just feel – right now, it's hard not to feel robbed of Stu Chain's testimony, because I just really want to understand the scam. And maybe there's a new Hulu doc in the works. Like, who knows? But
who
anyway,
knows?
That was, you know, that rocked our little Bravo world. That's
indeed.
For sure. I felt very much like Lisa Barlow. Like, I am shaking. I am physically shaking. I need to call one of my nine lawyers.
But speaking of Hulu and drama, quickly touch upon our Emmy nominations and any standouts to you quickly, or any that you're just like was a complete snub.
See, I don't think that's – I genuinely don't believe in snubs. People who think that – I don't think that things get snubbed. Like, I just don't think it's like that. Like, you're like, oh, like, Stranger Things got snubbed. I'm like, well, first of all, Millie Bobby Brown's a horrible actor, and so she didn't get snubbed for shit. And also, the show is all – like, it's all effects.
It's technical,
like,
it's, effects.
Yeah, so that's fine. The only thing that kind of, like, got stuck in my craw a little bit is that, like, I – fucking love Succession. Okay, like, I am a huge Succession stan. Obviously, I talk about it, I analyze it. I think everybody is insanely talented, but they're nominating like 2-3 people from that show in one category. I just think that's personally fucking insane. Like,
it's insane.
I don't get that. Like, you're telling me that at peak TV time, that you guys can't think of one other actor other than fucking Greg the Egg. Like, I'm not saying that he's the bad actor. I actually think that Greg's great. All I'm saying, and I'm not saying that's not deserved. I'm just saying that, like, if you have, you know, like, Brian Cox and Jeremy Strong and Kieran Culkin, like, all in the same category, like, doesn't one cancel out the other? Like, that's a little tough. But
it's a little tough.
My joy is seeing a bunch of people from Abbott Elementary getting nominated.
Me too.
And I get that Quinta's the first Black woman to be nominated for 3 different Emmys, but so is Nicole Byer. And I feel like Nicole Byer gets left out a lot of things, even though she's definitely done a lot. And so she got nominated for Best Writing for her special, her comedy special, BBW got nominated and nailed it. And so, like, I think that that's incredible. And I am, like, a huge Nicole Byer fan. I've never made that a secret, but I really appreciate Nicole Byer just because I've been following her career since, like, fucking Girl Code, and I know how hard she fucking works.
Yeah.
So I just am, like, so impressed and inspired by her. But also, like, I love Janelle James. Like, I think she's, like, one of the fucking funniest stand-up comedians. Like, I'm so stoked that she's getting the recognition that she deserves and is getting nominated for Emmys. Like, pumped for Jennifer Coolidge, pumped for Natasha Rothwell. Like, I think a lot of great people got nominated, but now it's going to be, like, splitting hairs kind of shit.
I 100% agree with you. I think the thing for me, like, I've followed Quinta Brunson since she was at BuzzFeed. Like, mm-hmm. I watched her content.
Yeah, people be giving.
I'm so impressed by her success. And, like, she is just so smart and so good mm-hmm. at writing and acting. And I
love Abbott Elementary. Like, it yeah. truly was the feel-good show I didn't even know I needed. Like, I just really appreciate the show. And I love all the actors that she has
Cheryl
on it.
Cheryl Lee Ralph got nominated. Yes. Speaking of Broadway, like, who I adore. Like, I just nothing but good things. Like, I was also happy to see Sydney Sweeney got nominated, not once, but twice. Like,
for White Lotus and what's the other one?
And Euphoria.
Euphoria is such a bad show. I'm so sorry.
White Lotus. I was happy about her White Lotus
for
nomination.
White Lotus because she was excellent in White Lotus.
She was excellent. And Euphoria is just like a downer for me. So I watched, you know, half the first season and afterwards, like, I had to walk away because I'm like, this is,
I watched all of season two. And I watched mostly all of season one. And again, my problem with Euphoria is, like, it is such a shittily written show and it is all about vibes. And what's his face? Nepo, Sam, whatever.
Levinson.
Truly gets by. Like, I'm glad that all of the actors get nominated because all of the actors on Euphoria are what make that show because it's 100% not the fucking writing. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because there are things that make absolutely no sense. There's, like, so much, like, nonsense, nudity, and, like, bullshit.
It's gratuitous and weird and, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so, like, Alexia Demi, Sydney Sweeney, Zendaya, even Storm Reid, who doesn't get enough to do but is great.
She doesn't.
Oh, Coleman
She's
Domingo,
great.
Who's Zendaya's dad. I love him. Like, I could listen to him read a fucking phone book. He's, like, such a gorgeous voice. And he's a great actor where he's, like, did you see Zola? He's, like, incredible. I find him to be like this perfect mix of, like, charismatic and charming, but, like, absolutely terrifying because you have no idea what he's going
to
do.
Yeah. So I still haven't seen Zola, but I need to, obviously. You're right.
It's okay.
Euphoria is definitely, like, an acting show for me over the writing. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. In terms of Nepo babies who got to be showrunners, like, I will always pick Dan Levy over Sam Levinson. Like,
1,000,000,000%. Like, because at least Dan Levy knows how to write a fucking show.
Yeah, pretty much. In terms of other things, I just want to say, like, we predicted so much of that miniseries.
We called that entire category.
I mean, the only one we didn't get, I think, was Anne Hathaway. Like, that was really the one, I won't call it a snub, but, like, the only one where I was like, I would have put her in that category.
I wonder how many people actually watched We Crash, because I don't think a lot of people did.
I think you're right. And I think, like, with the Jared Leto of it all, I think people are kind of turning on him. Like,
been turned on him. Yeah,
right. But I know we have. But,
I think society as a whole has been turned on him for quite some time. I think it was around the time that he was – I think when everybody found out that he sent Viola Davis, like, a bunch of weird shit while as the Joker, everyone was like, absolutely not. You will not be talking to or treating Viola Davis this way at all. I think everybody turned on him after that. But – I finished Severance, and so I think all of the Severance noms are super well deserved, especially mm-hmm. Patty Arquette is.
Oh, she is.
Oh, what a fucking freak on that show. But I'm
ripping from the first episode. Like, she makes the pilot. Mm-hmm. She makes the pilot.
Well,
her and
Adam Scott, because Adam Scott, I haven't seen him act like this in a really long time. Really, like, he's so good.
He has such good depth, and, like, I just stellar performances all around. Like, can't say enough things.
But that was another thing where, like, there was the double nom where it was, like, it seemed like people couldn't fucking make up their mind of, like, mm-hmm. oh, do we nominate John Turturro? Do we nominate Christopher Walken? Let's give it to everybody. It's like, just pick one. Please, just pick one. They won't take it personally. I promise you, they're actors. It's okay.
And you just heard a preview of one of our latest Patreon episodes. Yes, that's right. We have an old millennial cinematic universe over at Patreon. For $5 a month, you get two pieces of content from us. Usually that can be an episode, maybe two episodes. Sometimes you'll get a newsletter about our latest obsessions, but come join us over there. If you want to hear us talk about more than just, you know, the 90s and 2000s, we'll talk about what we're watching or streaming. We might be talking about the latest celeb gossip, like what you just heard. But either way, we think you really enjoy this. And again, for $5 a month, you get all sorts of great content from us. If you're interested in joining, you can go to patreon.com/oldmillennialspod and become a member today. Thanks so much. Bye.